Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Hear God's Word. "And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged them to tell no one, 'But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded.' However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Let's pray. O Lord our God, we need you. We need you as we come before you in worship. We need you, Lord, to open your word to us and make it as a mirror to give a true rendering of who we are and who we need. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Many of you at some point, probably either in high school or college, had to read the tragedy written by Shakespeare entitled Macbeth. Now for some of you, maybe it's been so long ago that you hardly remember anything about it. For some of you, you still have that to look forward to. But if you've read Macbeth and you remember nothing about it, perhaps the one thing, the one image that stuck in your mind was the picture of Lady Macbeth waking from sleep in the middle of the night, or rather I should say getting up, sleepwalking, and walking through her chamber, wringing her hands as if she's washing them. And she says, "What will these hands ne'er be clean? Will these hands ne'er be clean?" And in the midst of that sleepwalking, she was acknowledging that she had had a hand in killing the king, King Duncan. And we have in that same tragedy, Macbeth himself, Lord Macbeth, asking the question, "Will all Neptune's ocean, will all the water of Neptune's ocean not wash this blood clean from my hand?" Now Shakespeare is assuming something in this tragedy that we all know to be true. For everything we do wrong, every sin we commit, there is guilt attached to it. Our conscience pricks us of the things that we do wrong. Our conscience lets us know when we've sinned against God. And Shakespeare is simply acknowledging in this tragedy something that we all know. We all know that this is the case. You know what it means. You know what it means to feel dirty. You know what it means to feel dirty and to not have any bath or shower change that. But that's not the question. The question isn't, does your conscience prick you of guilt? The question is, how can we be washed? The question is, how can we have that guilt removed? And that's the question that this story from the life of Jesus answers for us. How can I be washed? How can I be right with God? How can I be truly and totally cleansed from the inside out? Because I know that I've tried everything else. I've tried doing good works. I've tried being nice to my neighbors, and I've tried being involved in charity and giving money to the church. But none of that stuff has worked. But it's all like trying to use soap to cure cancer. I need something that'll wash me from the inside out. What is that? Luke gives us the answer in this story. And the first thing that Luke shows us is the condition. The condition that calls for cleansing. The condition that calls for cleansing. Jesus is continuing on in his itinerant ministry from one town to the next. And Luke is vague here, much vaguer than he usually is in his descriptions. He merely says, it was a certain city, and there was a man. And he does this for a reason. He does this to get us past the exteriors and to point us to the central part, the thing he wants us to remember in this passage. And that is the condition of the man itself. Because when he comes to speak of the leper, that's where he gets descriptive. He says that the man was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. Matthew and Mark have this story, but neither of them make that comment. But Luke wants us to know that the man was full of leprosy. If Luke had been a South Carolinian, he would have said, the man was eat up with leprosy. He was eat up with it. He was in the advanced stages of leprosy. He had had it for years. How did leprosy begin? It would begin with a few sores on the forehead usually. And it would soon spread from the forehead down, out to the extremities, the arms, and down the chest, the stomach, the legs, down to the bottoms of the man's feet. And leprosy was basically just ulcerating sores. Open, boiling sores. Sores that never healed. So that as the sores ate away, especially at the fingers and the toes, the fingers would gradually become mere nubs as the skin just kept being eaten away and eaten away and eaten away. Missionary doctors who have done work with leper colonies in our present day have said that to be confronted with a leper was to be assaulted in every one of your physical senses. What you saw before you looked like a rotting corpse, the doctors say. And indeed, Josephus, the historian, says that they were treated like dead men. They looked like a rotting corpse. And the missionary doctors say that to get anywhere near them is to smell them. And to smell them, the disgusting scent of rotting skin. And it's known that leprosy also would affect the vocal cords, so that when the leper talked, he had a grating voice, the kind of voice that maybe a chain smoker would have after 50 or 60 years. A grating voice, a rattling voice. And the doctors say even this, that if you're around a leper long enough, you begin to taste the smell. Do you know what he means when he says that? The smell was so disgusting and strong that you begin to taste the smell. That was the picture of the leper. That was what Jesus met in that city on that day. Now, why is this important to us? This seems like just a history lesson. It's important because God meant leprosy as a symbol of our sin. It's an illustration of our inward filthiness, our inward sickness. And God couldn't have chosen a better disease, could He? The disease went from head to toe. There wasn't an inch that wasn't affected. And God provides for us in Scripture a parable, a visual image of a spiritual truth. And leprosy is the disease, spiritual leprosy, I should say, is the disease that each of us is born with. Leviticus 14 tells us the ritual that a cleansed leper would go through in order to be accepted back into society. And part of this ritual involved the use of a hyssop branch. And this hyssop branch would be dipped in the blood of the sacrifice, and the blood would then be sprinkled upon the leper as a sign of his cleansing and his need for cleansing. And if any of you are at all familiar with Psalm 51, You know that David uses that same picture when he describes himself and his need for cleansing. What does he say? Purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What's David saying here? But that he is a leper. He's a leper that needs cleansing. And he looked handsome and respectable and kingly, majestic on the outside. But inside he was a leper. He was a diseased man who needed cleansing, who needed healing. And God presents us this picture to help us to see what we are by nature without Christ. And it's that condition and nothing less than that condition that calls for cleansing. The cleansing that only Jesus can give us. Maybe you're not yet ready to admit that you're a leper. I've always had a little spiritual good in me. I've always had that spark of goodness deep down inside. Maybe we haven't thought about what Isaiah's words meant when he said, "Behold, we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." What did he say? Did he say all of our bad deeds are filthy rags? He said all of our righteousnesses, all of the good things we do that we hold up to God and say, "Look, God, how good I am. You should accept me. I should be right with you because of these things." Isaiah says that the righteous things that we do are filthy rags. And then we remember Paul's words, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." Children of wrath, just as the others. It's hard to be honest about ourselves, isn't it? I'm not the best judge of who I am. As I've said before, you don't go to a skunk to find out what smells good. You don't go to yourself to find out how good you are. You don't go to me to find out how good you are. God is the only judge of what is good and what is right and what is not. And He says that by nature, you and I are children of wrath. If there's any question at all about the depth of our need, the seriousness of our condition, we need to only look at the cure, at the remedy. The more serious a frostbite case is, the more serious the remedy is. If it's a mild case, then no big deal. But if it's a severe case, then the foot has to be cut off. The foot has to be amputated. And it's like that in all the world of medicine. The more serious the disease, the more serious, the more invasive the remedy. How serious is our need? How serious is our condition? Nothing less than Jesus Himself. Nothing less than the Son of God Himself coming to earth and dying a wretched, humiliating death. Nothing less than that will do to cure us. That's the condition. That's our condition. The condition that calls for cleansing. We are full of leprosy. But then Luke gives to us the attitude that acquires the cleansing. The attitude that acquires the cleansing. The man who comes to Jesus, the woman, the boy or the girl who comes to Jesus in a certain frame, in a certain attitude. The person who comes and realizes his condition and realizes he needs to be washed comes with a certain attitude. What is that attitude? Well, we can say two things about the attitude of this leper. One is that he knew himself. The leper knew himself. He was aware of his need and he realized that he could not do anything about it. He realized that there was no help for him. No help for him possible apart from Jesus. And it's only, brothers and sisters, it's only if you realize that, that you will ever come to Jesus. If you think there is one last hope of being right with God somewhere else in the world, you will find it rather than go to Jesus. Because the way to Jesus means you humble yourself and say, I have nothing to bring you, Lord. I simply need your mercy. But if you have some idea that somewhere in the world there is something that can make you right with God, you will follow that. But the leper knew that he had one hope, and one hope only. It was to come and fall before Jesus. He knew himself, and also he knew Jesus. And I don't mean that he knew him personally as of this moment in the passage, but he knew at some level who Jesus was. Notice what he does here. He fell on his face, Luke says. He fell on his face in worship and submission, and he calls Jesus Lord. If the Pharisees had been watching, they would have accused him of blasphemy and of idolatry, all rolled up in one. You bow before this man and then you call him Lord? And yet he realizes that this Jesus is more than a man. He realizes that this Jesus has power to forgive. And isn't it an amazing statement what he says here? If you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, at this distance from this whole world and whole situation, it's hard for us to estimate what a monumental sentence this is. Here is an incurable disease. An incurable disease. And the man comes and falls before Jesus and says, I don't doubt your ability. I'm just not sure about your willingness. I know you're able. If you're willing, you can make me clean. As we read through the gospel stories, we find out that not everybody had this faith. There's one story where a father brings his son who has been possessed by a mute spirit. And the father says this, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Isn't it true that we often come to God in the same way? We come to Him and say, Lord, if there's anything you can do, I've got a problem here. If there's anything you can do to help, won't you help? But the man of faith, the woman of faith, the boy or girl of faith comes and says, you are able, Lord. I only pray that you'll be willing. Don't we need to know Jesus? Don't we need to know Jesus much better than we do? To have that faith that He is able and He is willing. I had a little package of candies for Ethan one day. There were about 12 pieces in this package, and I intended to give him the whole package. And I poured them out in my hand, and he took one and ate it, and he said, Daddy, can I have one more? That tells you maybe what he thinks of my generosity. But if we don't know Jesus, then we doubt Him. We doubt His generosity. We ask little of God. And we expect little of God because we trust God so little. What is it that James says? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Did you hear that word? Liberally. And without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. If you can do anything, help us. Is that your attitude toward God? Or is your attitude, Lord, you are able. I pray that you're willing. That's the attitude. That's the attitude that acquires the cleansing. That's the attitude that acquires the washing that Jesus has for us to take. But Luke shows us one more thing, and it's the most important thing. He shows us the Messiah that ministers the cleansing. He shows us the Messiah that ministers, that grants this cleansing that we all need. Who is this Jesus that the leper comes to? What is He like? Do we know Him? Even in this short little passage, we learn volumes. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then there's that moment of uncertainty. What will Jesus say? Will He say, you're a leper. You're not even supposed to be in the city. Don't you remember what the law says? Get out of the city. You're not supposed to be this close to me. I didn't hear you yelling, unclean, unclean, as you came into my presence. Get away from me. What does Jesus say? Or rather, we should say first, what does He do? Then He put out His hand and touched him. Again, it's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to understand what this means. But it's quite possible that this man had gone years and years without a touch from another human being. Years and years without any sort of affection from anyone. Let me read to you quickly what the life of the leper was like. Just a few verses from Leviticus 13. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head shall be bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Alone. Alone. And into this world comes Jesus, who breaks down all the barriers and touches them. Have you ever thought about how important the human touch is? Heard about a man who was very lonely, didn't have really any family that loved him, had no wife, and he would go every week to get his hair cut. And he went, he told his pastor later on, he went because he wanted the feeling of a caring touch. Don't be tempted to think that Jesus is distant, that Jesus is aloof, because He is a God who wants to get close. He's a God who's not afraid to touch you in all your filthiness. He says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I'm willing to come. If you will invite me, I'm willing to come and get involved in your mixed up life. And I don't care how messed up it is. I don't care how dirty and confused things are in your life. I'm willing to do that. He reached out and He touched him. And what does He say? I am willing. I am willing. What better words for any of us to hear, but what music to that man's ears? I knew He was able, and now I know He's willing to cleanse. He's willing to cleanse. There are even Christians today who doubt that very thing about Jesus. They think that He'll only go so far, that you can only mess up so many times before He cuts you off. But that "I am willing," that statement is good. It's as good for you today as it was for that leper back then. And it's just as relevant, just as up to date at this very moment when He says to you, "I am willing." If you'll confess your sins, if you'll confess your need, "I'm willing. I'm willing to cleanse you. I'm willing," He said, "be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him. Nobody did this. As I've said already, the leprosy was considered an incurable disease. The rabbis of the day wrote that they counted healing a leper as difficult as raising the dead. And that's just another way for the rabbis to say that it was impossible, because they didn't raise anybody from the dead and they didn't cure anybody. If ever someone recovered from leprosy, it was something that just happened apart from any intervention by another man. The priest, he was able to pronounce someone unclean. And if they were cured, He was able to pronounce somebody clean. But that's not what Jesus did. He made him clean. I, as a minister, can say, if you confess your sins, God will forgive you. But only God can forgive you. Only Jesus can cleanse you. Only Jesus can heal you. No matter how terrible things have gotten into your life, no matter how low things have sunk, He says, "I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. All of you who will come to Me, I am willing. Be cleansed. I'll cleanse you. I'll wash you so that you're whiter than snow. I'll wash you from the inside out." And as He cleansed this leper, He was pointing, wasn't He? He was pointing to the greater work that He came to do of cleansing our soul and pointing forward to the day when we will be cleansed, perfectly clean, body and soul, when our souls will be rejoined to incorruptible, imperishable resurrection bodies. Are you asking to be cleansed? Macbeth said again, "Can all the waters of Neptune's ocean wash this blood off my hands?" Incidentally, no one else saw that blood stain on Macbeth's hands. Are you asking the same question? How can I be right with God? How can I be cleansed? How can I be made a new creature in Christ? You need to only turn to these words and see Jesus say, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Or as John said in his epistle, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Is there something that you're holding back, too afraid to bring to light because it's so despicable? It's such a disgusting thing that you don't think God can cleanse you of it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. The only thing to do now is to come to Him, to acknowledge your condition, to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of mercy, and to acknowledge that God is the only one that can save you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we come to Him, brothers and sisters, even of us, those of us who are believers, don't we need rewashed and rewashed and rewashed? Let's remember those great words of Isaiah. "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. That's God's promise to all of us who need cleansing. See our need to be cleansed. Let's stand to pray. Our great God, we know that this work is Your work. And so we ask You, Father, to help us to see our condition. Help us to see our need for cleansing. And Lord, give us faith to come to You aware of our sins and knowing and believing that Jesus can and does cleanse. Believing in that Messiah, that Christ, who ministers the cleansing to us. Oh Lord, we rejoice in that cleansing, the one that all the waters in the world cannot wash away. Jesus does by His own blood. We thank You and praise You in His name. Amen.